Tim is actually literally lighting candles right now.
Storm shelter.
Hunkered down in the storm.
You're riding out the storm. Some kind of stormy surprise. But we are here again after when was the last time? Was it February or March? When the hell was the last time we had an epidemic?
It was a couple months ago. It wasn't that long ago. It's
probably February.
February.
Yeah.
It's July. It's the end of July right now, so it actually was a couple of months.
We're starting season two.
Yeah, we're on a hiatus.
Yeah.
Season two, episode one. See, we're right on schedule.
Yeah,
right.
I was off shooting a movie.
We didn't know if we were going to get picked up, so, that's...
Yeah, and then I was off shooting a movie, and Tim, had that TV gig he had to take care of. And John, you're just directing another masterpiece.
I was going to say that we didn't know if the networks were going to pick us up, but, the only pickup thing that, we probably are really getting at this point is, old men in vans with candy. As far as no one's picking this up.
No, old men dressed up as Santa Claus that are in a van and then drive off into a bridge and drive off into outer space.
I gotta tell you, we're
at the point right now where we're self-referencing older podcasts. That's amazing. Season two.
That's what happens when you get to have double digits. When we have such a wide variety of back catalog. I have to tell you, I slipped yesterday. Speaking of fans driving off into space, I slipped yesterday, and we were outside on break at work, and this van came along, and it was honking for us to get out of the way, and I didn't even think about it. I just said, "Okay, everyone, get out of the way of the rape van."
Oh, man.
And it just flew right off the tongue. They're like, "What did you call it?" I'm like, "It's a big van because it's a big van and it's dirty."
About 2 weeks ago, I was at some local music festival announcement stupid thing. I don't know. And it was like, it was for Fun Fest. And their whole theme this year is vans, right? Like, vanning, right? So they had this little theme thingy to announce, the last week of artists so you can purchase egregious price tickets for it. But the theme was all about Vannon, and there's a documentary called Vannon. And they got the people who made it to come out and kind of give a rough cut because they're not done with it, right? So it was this big inflatable, theater screen, and then, the Houston Van Club came out, and then there was about 10 vans, straight up modified vans sitting out in this patch of green grass in between this industrial park that was showing this Vannon movie, talking about the history of Vannon and some of the freaking characters with it. It was kind of hilarious. And I got some sweet pictures of some quad stereo and some bubble windows with some landscapes. It was really cool.
Were there any Conan the Barbarian kind of naked women on the side of the van, airbrushed vans there, or no?
No, the best that there was.
Well, then that's not a van fest. That sucks. I need that in my van.
Documentary was talking about the Van Nationals, and it's like they pick a city every year. And this year I think it's up in Ohio, and then the documentary is about the one that happened in Wisconsin, and unfortunately it was really all the people who went vanning in the 70s, but now they're 80. So they're just nasty drunk, but they have some sweet looking custom vans.
They're so old. They're so old where they used to have waterbeds in the back, and now they have dialysis machines in the back.
Dude, waterbed propped up with some aquariums in there and some shag carpets, quad stereos, got a bubble window and maybe a Godzilla landscape painting on the side. Dude, I know you call it a rape van, but I gotta tell you, I really want a rape van.
Okay. Well, rape vans are different than the vans you're talking about. The vans you're talking about, those are consensual vans. That's just smooth wagons.
What I learned there was that the first ever Van Nationals took place in 1973 in Boulder Spring in Boulder, Colorado, right? The next
shocker.
It was so popular and it was so big. The next year that they had it, it took place in Bonner Springs, Kansas, of all places. So 1974, the second actual national Van Nationals took place in Bonner Springs. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from my hometown, and yeah, it's all in the documentary. Anyway, it was way more exciting than what this with this piece of shit movie we had. But first, what else have you guys been up to?
On the van note, with the little tidbit you gave us there, you have to go with this, you know.
Wow. It's like
the more you know.
Say something random and informative. I don't know.
Add that to my soundboard.
Damn it. The Tim soundboard. Sorry, I can't give out real names.
Tim board. It's too late.
No. I should just give out your phone number while I'm at it.
No.
It's been a couple months. So besides like vanning and stuff and... and getting older, that's what I've been doing.
Well,
what are you guys went up to? John, you have moved into a new place.
I've got like a studio apartment, which is a pretty decent deal. It's really cheap, but it's like I'm living in a place where I seem to be the only one in the building who actually works and doesn't smoke. it was a treat for me because like I had these big windows, so like I bought a bed and like the bed is right by the windows because I like breeze coming in. But my problem is like about 2 to 3 times a night, someone goes outside to smoke, and then I get to smell smoke. So I'm basically a secondhand smoker now.
I'm noticing
it's just not.
I'm kind of telling your voice too.
I feel like it would give me a little more of that Sam Elliott raspy thing, because I mean, you know, because like let's not make any bones about it. You know, I'm not getting any younger, and I'm definitely not getting prettier. So I got to go with a smoker voice. Handlebar is probably going to be the way to go.
I hear tell you have thin walls with some of your neighbors.
I don't even think it's like. I think it's just that their windows are open and they just like litter it.
Wait, they fart?
That is. I would probably be more comfortable with farting. Farting doesn't make me awkward. But yeah, hearing people, it's like, it sounds like people jumping on the bed. It sounds like someone falls off it at some point, and then it's quiet.
It's like, gee, dear, let's get the squeakiest fucking springs we can, just so we can announce to the world that we're making the sweet love to each other.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's a nice. I'm a little disappointed because I walked to the downtown the other night, and I was like, man, America really is full of a bunch of fat fucks. I mean, it was just like all that was down there was just food and food places. And I'm like, maybe a bookstore or you know something. You know, I would have even taken a Hallmark at one point. But no, it's good though. I'm hoping to you know catch up on some movies and stuff. And I've been last night I watched Bizarre like 2 episodes. I don't know if you guys are familiar with John Byner. Which he made this show. They had a censored version that they used to show on syndication, but they showed it like on Showtime, and it's a Canadian show. But it was basically just like it's a comedy sketch show, but it has all kinds of nudity in it and stuff, and cursing. It's pretty amazing. Oh. So yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, so I've been just working, reading too many comics, and starting too many books.
Ordering sarsaparillas and telling us that the dude abides.
Do what now?
Ordering sarsaparillas and telling us that the dude abides.
Yeah.
That's the best Sam Elliott reference I had. It was kind of weak, actually. I apologize. That was terrible.
No. I mean, it was better than mine. Mine would have been Roadhouse when he's like, the double douche.
That's amazing. It totally,
Thank
that
you.
Wins.
Does it work? It made you a little flush?
It was, actually.
This is a no pants zone. Take them off. Take them off, boys.
There you go.
Oh, son of a bitch. I forgot all about that.
Beside adding new items to the soundboard there, Tim, what have you been up to the last couple of months?
Let's see. What the last
couple? Teenage bride.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well. Let's see. No, not a whole lot of anything that was all that interesting.
Well, you just about got blown away by a storm, right?
Oh, the usual duck and cover drill from a tornado, because it's springtime. I went to some guy's wedding.
I met
Taylor, and...
Oh, wait, you should tell him about your addiction that you have. Your new Jones and your...
Oh, you cartoons. Mean my binge watching that I've been up to?
Yeah.
So, I know this will make me the one of the cooler people in the world, but I have spent the last, month or so watching all of the DC animated episodes of the Justice League and the Justice League Unlimited and the variety of Batman Brave and the Bold and Batman the Animated Series.
Wow.
I have watched every episode of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, and I am just about finished with Batman the Brave and the Bold.
So are you getting ready for Beware the Batman?
I will give it a shot. I don't really care for the 3D animation bit, but...
Well, you're going to watch it.
I probably will watch it, but I said the same thing about some of the Justice League. I was like, I don't know, and then I watched all of them.
We don't like the artwork though on some of those. Like there's a Green Lantern series and I'm just like, I hate the artwork, the way it looks. It's just
such a minority. I watched the Planet Hulk movie. I've been watching the Marvel.
It's good, isn't it?
It's actually really good. The deaths, like dying in cartoons, is a very big turn on for me. Not in a sexual way, but as in like an intellectually and artistically compelling way. Because in cartoons that mostly I see, or at least that have been pumped down my gullet, have all involved like cartoon characters somehow avoiding lasers and death and stuff. So, and Planet Hulk was really cool, and it actually just kind of opened the door for me to maybe. You know, giving it a chance for maybe some of those other animated comic book movies. Like, Tim, those Justice League shows, like, do characters die in there?
The initial ones, they were pretty careful, but as the show went on, they had some pretty... actually, they do die. I take it back. It's very implied, but new people do die. That's not always... There's some darker episodes... They don't ignore the fact that people die. People get poisoned and die. People do get turned to stone and dust.
Yeah.
There's some other stuff, but as it gets further along in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, which is the same show, the next season they call it Unlimited.
Is it like the Gap Unlimited?
Yeah, kind of like that.
It's not as good.
To a certain extent, yeah, that's correct. But there are some Justice League Unlimited episodes that are really good. The DC Universe movies, which are done in the same style and have the same kind of rules and stuff, those do kill people, and they're pretty, they can be fairly dark. Those are worth, I haven't watched it yet, but I know John is Behind the Red Hood is quite violent, I understand.
Behind the Red Hood, it kind of finds, because it's kind of like what you were saying, Hokie, like when we were kids, like the G.I. Joe movies and all those, like, you know, people would just get their guns blown up and then, But the Red Hood just kind of starts off with you just like, oh my god, I wasn't expecting this. But I think maybe like everybody in our age group kind of just thinks about that. You kind of get lulled in by the cartoons because you think that it's just going to be, it's just going to be a nice cartoon. No one's really going to die. And then when someone gets their, you know, brains beaten in, it's kind of like, it kind of shocks you a little bit. But no, Tim's kind of left to give me a list too. It's one of the things that I love about him is because, I asked him, I was like, hey, so which one should I watch? Because I don't have a lot of time. And he sends me this list with asterisks and, like, a code and a key. It's like, yeah, that's my kind of dude, you know? It's like, you take this stuff seriously.
You know, there's a reason I got a librarian degree.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's perfect for, like, you know, Comic-Con happened over the weekend. I saw some stuff for that. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Are you guys like one of? I mean, I'm not that interested in going. I mean, it's kind of on a bucket list. Like, I need to go at least once. But it just, I mean, not to sound like a snot, but it's just like, it just seems to have gotten to be where it's just, it's all about Hollywood and celebrities and movies and stuff. And I can't imagine, like, you're actually spending any time looking at comics. Like, you know, like going through, you know, boxes of comics. I think it's just like, I'm going to stand in line to, you know, to see a 10-minute clip of Avengers.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've always, my main stickler with comic book conventions has always been that you have to pay money up front for the privilege to buy other things. It's always bothered me. I'd rather go to the flea market and have some guy tell me that this Luke Skywalker is $10,000.
I love it. I so badly, I keep telling Tim that I want to go to that guy's booth so badly. And I guess if anyone is actually listening, this guy's become legendary. It's just like, he's just kind of like just a big galoot.
He's a big tie-stomping galoot.
Yeah. You think he's bounce ties? I don't think he has a tie. He would be a bandana stomping galoot. Because one time he was there, he was wearing a do-rag, like, tied up. But I have to say, until he opened his mouth, I was like, that's a pretty badass look.
He brought his sweet one he can stomp on.
So,
yeah. we gotta record that guy. I need to just make a trip to Kansas again so we can go to the flea market
we can send you undercover.
You could
do an undercover job.
No, it's this flea market booth guy from this flea market in Wichita that is he is amazingly brash in his claims of stardom and expensive toys, and it is I mean, you want to talk about floating some bullshit. That guy he's the captain of this USS Enterprise bullshit, man. That guy can do Warp Speed 9 of bullshit.
It's amazing. It's worth the trip. I mean, that guy's like I said, Tim and I were talking about how people in your life just become legends, and like, that's probably my most recent one. Like, I will, until I die, remember that fucking blowhard.
Oh, man.
Just sit there telling us, like, everything was, like, 50. There was nothing that was cheap. But, we just need to do a special, like, investigative podcast where we could probably just sit down and tell that guy.
We need to get Stan Kramer on the call and get him down there and go leave him out or something. for the Kansas City, the KCTV 5 Kansas City investigative journalist team.
I don't know how I'm going to quite use this yet, but I found this.
Hang on.
What the hell is going on right now?
I think he's flopping some buns over there.
So many things right there.
Well, I would say that is the...
Just in case we need to class up the show a little bit.
Well, I was going to say...
whoa, hang on. Were you just doing what I think you were doing?
No.
What the hell? I can't hear it that well.
Wait, I'll be quiet because Tim upgraded his soundboard. Let's.
It sounded like Harry Dean Stanton farting.
Well, that's very precise, John.
I don't know who this was precisely, but I found a nice little.
Can you tell us what he was eating precisely?
All right, let's all listen. And this one. Oh no. That's messy.
Is that on your phone? Because I have an app on my phone too, and it has a little delay where you can hit it and then it like put the second, like, 10-second delay.
No, and then this last one was the kicker, I think. No, wait, this isn't it. That's the misfire. No, I actually found
and so I get
a list of sounds. There's a clip.
That is about the most perfect segue into this movie.
That's what I was gonna say, man. One for you, sir. I was gonna be like, if anything can remind me of Shanghai Surprise, it's a series of intermittent parts.
Wait. Did you? You said Shanghai Surprise, correct?
Yes.
It sounds like a monk, like, chanting, so it's perfect. Every time someone says Shanghai Surprise, hit it. Hit that one.
I gotta cue it back.
I'm so amazed. Like, I'm so glad I'm using my communication and radio degree for this. That was money well spent.
That's right.
This is great. Classy shit.
Floating floating farts on the internet. Well paid.
Oh. If my advisors could see me now, they're like, oh, so you're sitting in a tiny apartment living paycheck to paycheck with a whole bunch of cats in your house, and you're playing farts and recording and watching Shanghai Surprise.
You win life, sir. And, dude, Tim, seriously, you're crop dusting this entire podcast.
They actually stopped making podcasts after this one. This is
going
to shut the whole thing down.
Next time we do this, I'm going to be taking some Bina beforehand. Good Lord, sir. You are right.
Oh, man. So anyway, I unfortunately am the culprit who decided to pick Shanghai Surprise. I found an 8-movie DVD.
You're gonna fucking sabotage this whole goddamn evidence.
I'll put it on the shorter one.
Oh, thank you. I'm still gonna laugh my ass off when I hear it, but that's fine.
Oh, no, and it's like I knew I was going to get the giggles today because I haven't really slept a whole lot, so I'm like, oh, no. I just keep thinking that it sounds like somebody's singing, like going, oh.
Oh, what a rush.
I'll leave it on
that. It's the Road Warriors. It's the Legion of Doom.
Listen, Tim, you're
what a rush.
Tim, look, you're a fartist. Don't let us mess up your craft. You do what you need to do, what you feel apropos.
It's a craft. So,
but,
it's both.
So, okay, so I guess I'm the one who has to answer for the thing.
Did you say it? You said it.
This is a turtle head. Oh, but so I bought, yeah, this is just like a little turtle poking his head, kind of noop, noop, noop.
Wow. Season 2!
Off to a real good start.
Oh, boy. This is bad. Like, they're gonna shut the whole genre of podcasting down after this one.
Or at least we're already fumigating it. That's for sure.
Because we've hit the pinnacle.
So there was an 8-movie pack, and I don't know why. I think I wanted to pick Shanghai Surprise. Shit! I just said it again.
Just say that movie. Just say that movie. This week's movies.
This Epidosis movie. We hadn't done an 80s comedy. We had done, you know, Yore, we had done the Wang Wang, we had done the Wrestling Queen, we had done Santa Claus movie. I think this is stunningly one of the worst movies I've seen. And it's not because it was so flat, and I guess the term that I keep going back to is self-indulgent.
Yeah.
It's just, And I think, personally, like, George Harrison got involved with this because I think he was trying to sleep with Madonna. That's the only reason I could think that he would associate himself with this.
Oh, that's bad, that bad music.
Yeah, so...
Oh, well, there's the one song that's kind of okay, but then there's all these little weird... And it's like, I imagine that, like, he told him he would finance this movie because it was his film company that produced it.
Yes.
And so I imagine that he said, oh, I'll do the songs, and then he really, like, he wasn't getting anywhere with Madonna. Like, she was kind of blowing him off, and he's like, he's not going to get to sleep with him, so he just didn't give a crap. And then so they're like, oh, so do you have the soundtrack done? And I just imagine him just, like, sitting around his house just noodling on his guitar. And he's like, oh, yeah, here's your soundtrack. And just really just phoned it in, because it just doesn't, But, yeah, this is when they were newlyweds. The research that I did, they said that they were fairly... recently married when they made this film. Uh-oh.
Alright, now, if that song says it, you can't play the fart song.
No. Song, if it's said in its own movie, I won't play it.
Yeah, I'm drawing the poop line here, sir.
I'm drawing
the brown line in the sand. Which I haven't done in a while, actually.
See, they said I didn't do it. All right. Well,
So basically, it just. I mean, I don't even. I was telling Tim last night. Like, I don't even want to recap this. You know, I don't even want to be like this happened and this happened. It is just terrible. And it's like, I mean, the whole idea. Like, I'm looking through my notes, and there's. I almost just want to throw it down in disgust. I'm like, I'm just disgusted with myself in this movie. It was just, it's, I think it's the worst movie we've watched. It definitely is the worst movie.
Man.
Man, that's a good, well, you mean from season one?
Yeah.
I don't know. Santa Claus is interesting, yeah. But it was, I mean, I don't know. Has it been the worst movie that we've seen?
It's right there.
There was nothing redeeming about it. Like, Santa Claus and Luther, like, oh, wow, those reindeers are, you know, they're hopped up on dope or something. But, like, with this, it was just, like, I didn't care about the plot. I mean, the only thing, like, I have to say, like, the opening scene, I was kind of like, well, maybe this won't be so bad. When the guy got his hands blown off.
It's off to a promising start. You're like,
all right. Yeah, and right. I wrote down in my notes, asshole Batman. And here's the other thing. This whole movie is called, I don't want to say it.
You're going to say it.
I did think about it. But, so the title
Take
of this
the
movie
team.
Is like, you. Okay, so Shanghai Surprise is really, in essence, it's a goddamn belt.
That was the smaller part.
That's what you get out of this movie. Like, out of all the things about, like, opium and jewels and double crosses and triple crosses, it's named after a guy with a sabotage belt that will blow your hands off.
What was named after belt?
Shanghai Surprise. That's what they called the stupid belt.
Keep
doing it.
Yeah. Now, okay, so I watched this a couple months ago, really. I was like, right after you said it, John, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna watch this. And then I had to drink during this movie because it was terrible. And I'm right there with you. There is nothing, like, I don't remember a damn thing. The only thing I remember is the theme song from this whole movie. That's all I remember. Everything else is just kind of, you're right, trite, like, contention. It's just like they're in a movie and they are acting, and you could tell that they are acting, and that's about it.
This is fresh in my palate, because I just watched it a couple hours ago.
Just like those farts fresh in your shorts, sir.
And, boy, it just was, it's bad. And then... basically, people run around chasing something. It turns out not to be the something they're chasing. Double cross. Oh, they got the thing that they were after that really wasn't the thing they were after at the beginning. The end. And bad acting.
Oh, man.
Well, it was 97 minutes, and it was the longest 97 minutes I've ever felt in my life. And I mean, it just went on, and what was so and what this is one of the things that just confounds me about movies in the 80s, and this is a common theme. And even when I was a kid, I thought it was horseshit, and when I get old, well, now I really think it's horseshit. Is that suddenly someone has a change of pace or a change of heart, and then suddenly like they're in love with the person. Like, so Sean Penn's character is supposed to go sleep with a China doll to get information, and he's just a total scuzzbag the whole time, and then she's sitting there smoking, just like, oh, I can't believe you're doing that, and, you know, and it's like, so suddenly she's in love with him. Like, what the hell happens where suddenly, you know, that's just a common theme. It's like they fight and they hate each other, and the next thing you know, it's like, oh, I love you, and I love you too.
I have a question. After he gets tortured and she comes back to the room, and then she's like, I'm going to basically sleep with you so that you'll have an obligation. It's like, since when is that a rule?
Hey, those were more respectable days. It was
because she's like, basically, yeah. She's going to basically, well, she essentially kind of rapes him. Even fire.
Well, but wasn't that like the worst seduction scene you've ever seen in your life?
I'll do what I have to do. And she's just like taking off her clothes and it's like, oh, come on.
Oh, you want to know how bad this movie is? Tim doesn't have any clips queued up from the movie.
No, he doesn't deserve clips.
That's how bad this movie is.
It doesn't deserve.
I'm better off.
No, he's got the proper clips queued up.
Yes, exactly.
That sums up the movie. All
right, so yeah. It's pretty fresh in your mind, Tim. And then, John, when did you watch this?
I watched it last night.
Okay, all right, it's pretty fresh.
And
so you guys,
and I.
So you guys have it pretty fresh in your mind, then, right?
Oh.
Alright, so I don't.
Yeah, know. I mean, I wrote a lot of notes.
Yeah, okay, so.
I don't know why. And then I
did too, and that's the only thing I remember from the movie. So I'm going to really quick go through all my notes, alright? And then you guys.
Okay, yeah, I was just thinking, because I want to do that as well. I want to do that as well, because when you're done with your notes, I'll go through mine. Right. And then.
Because I don't remember anything else about this movie. And Tim, Shanghai Surprise.
Shanghai. What movie? Shanghai Surprise.
What was it called?
That's what it's called.
All right. Yes. Before I pass out, the stitch, I'm gonna go through this as fast as I can. All right. So, all right. Okay. Here we go. Well, the theme sucks. Not looking good. And then twice in all caps, fucking George Harrison, fucking George Harrison. Then I have and Jeremy Irons, lookalike. I guess some guy looked like him. Oh, and the fat cameo actor guy. I think it was like the fat character guy.
Yeah, he was like in the Orient Express in those movies.
Yeah. So then all I have next, I don't even remember this, in all caps, holy hell, and then no, and then opium, and then in regular case, I have give me opium, and then I have for this movie, and then man, Sean Penn is screechy, good Lord Madonna can't act, and Sean Penn looks flimsy, and they're making crickets fucking fight, fuck God, no, please, damn. dusty old clown Sean Penn, I think it was because of his fucking tie. A rickshaw chase, really? Really?
Oh, I got that. I wrote that too.
Saying it's the spirit good guy from Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah, he was in there. He was drunk, and then the bathhouse scene, real, I don't know what that means. Something about Madonna's father, I don't care. Tasting the duck, Madonna's treat, I don't even know what the hell that means. Casa Blanca calling and wants its restaurant back. It's a character of something, but I don't know what yet. So they ran into some bathhouse again. What the hell is happening? Here we go, opium chasing and father chasing. Not sure what else. Eating pebbles by Sean in the tub. Tits is the only thing to save this movie. The cancer that George Harrison died from came from this movie. Oh, wow. Story of Ricky type torture device. I like this because it's Sean Penn in it.
I just posted a picture on Facebook of that.
Can already see Madonna's blue veins varicose away. Most uninspiring love scene ever. Yes. They're just saying Heinz Goldfish Madonna. Yes. Madonna is drunk and she went all lame. Most dead love story ever. It's like they are in on a joke trolling everyone who watches this movie. Original troll. Whoa. Bad henchman from James Bond. Oddjob was in this freaking...
Oh, yeah. That was sad. Because that guy's pretty fun. He looks like this guy, Taki, I used to go to school with. And I think I've mentioned Taki before on the podcast because his nickname was Yokching, which in slang meant ball sack. So whenever I see him, I go, Yokching. So,
yeah. Yokching. All right, so Knuckleball saves the day. Yeah, apparently there's...
That was not... Well, okay, this is the other thing. That was probably what made me the most furious about this piece of shit, was I throw a knuckleball. Like, I study the knuckleball. That was not a knuckleball. A knuckleball does not rotate backwards to you. The whole idea of a knuckleball is that there's no spin, no rotation.
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, it couldn't be a knuckleball because I'm pretty sure knuckleballs are not animated.
He would be right. but that would have been more of like a, that would have been more of like a, like an off speed. I don't know what that you would go. That would be, that's like pulling the string on it. But like a knuckleball just goes flat and it just kind of moves like a butterfly kind of. And why can't movies, like whenever they have someone who does something baseball wise, why can't they get someone who actually knows how to throw a ball? Everyone looks so awkward. And like when he did his wind up, he looked terrible. Yeah. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Because that was in there. And then they're looking for Faraday's flowers. I don't know what the hell that is. Journalist is running the whole show. This is not Adrian Brody, but a reasonable facsimile. Heavenly Gardens, question mark? Her bush. Yeah. So the flowers... so the flowers and Madonna comes full circle with the stupid opium story. Creepy-looking fake hand, that's for sure. Yeah. And it has crushing power, huh? Telegraph and arrest from way down. Do the dolls have baked in opium, huh? Replay from the beginning. Tuba hidden. Lone Ranger badge, huh? Yike, Shanghai. Surprise is the belt. And here's my next note. Wow, that is one smoking dummy. Big fat henchman doesn't do jack, and it comes back to Sean Penn being all screechy and annoying. Super snore, quadruple cross. Chopsticks to Madonna picking a lame lock for some basket crate. Not funny. Oh, so not funny. Basket sex. Quintuple cross, all caps. No one wins again. Fuck this movie, arg. Madonna was on the Hung Hwa. And that's my boat. So apparently she was on a ship called the Hung Hwa. So I picked that up. Crossed over six times, bedtimes, and opium, and thank you, it's over. So those are my notes. Oh, man.
Well, look, I'll go through my notes are pretty quick. There's mine I wrote, it's just, let's see, put George Harrison, and then it says, ooh, blew his hands off. Surprise. And then it says, asshole Batman. Because that kind of reminded me of a Batman thing, but Batman wouldn't blow someone's hands off. Then I wrote, it's a Sean Penn puppet. And the reason I put puppet, I used to work with this guy who has since passed away, Matt Fonsil, who was a really good guy. He, I worked with him in a newspaper, and when I met him when he came in, I said to one of the guys, I'm like, he looks like Sean Penn in Bad Boys. And so, and he had kind of a little mullet thing going. He was a guy that was he was just his own character. He was an awesome dude. But so yeah, it's kind of sad. At the first one, when he had like his pajamas on and he was yelling and everything, when you first see him, I was like, wow, that really looks like Matt. It really made me kind of sad. So yeah, so then I put nipple tats. Well, because like he had the tattoo, they didn't finish the nipples. Then it says rickshaw chasing.
That was incredibly terrible. That was like, how can you have rickshaw?
Weapon.
I can tell you this real quick. If I was paid to be in a rickshaw chase and I was driving the rickshaw, I'd be like, fuck this, I'm done. I'm not gonna run any faster than I am right now. Why the hell are you whipping my back to try to follow somebody else? Oh God.
It felt like there was just like this really weird. I don't get offended by anything, and I wasn't really offended, but it made me uncomfortable. There was just like this weird racism that just kind of went through the whole movie. You know, it was like people, like, they're like, oh, I love the Asian culture, I'm respectful of it, but really they're just kind of assholes, you know? It was like that.
They did a few little bit Ching Chong Chinese Man stuff in there.
Yeah, it just
yeah.
But so then I said shoe weapon, and then I put soundtrack last minute. George Harrison recorded this on the toilet, and then I just wrote Viagra, which was probably the bath scene. then Madonna Jealous, and then then when he was with China Doll and they were painting on each other's body, I was hoping that when he painted on her chest that he was going to write Eat Me.
Go for it.
And then I wrote this note. This is my favorite note. It said, "Everyone looks like they have BO." Because like the detective and everybody, they just looked like they would just sweat, and they were drinking all that booze, so you know, and eating Chinese food, so you know, they just had like soupy shit and just smelled awful.
Man, so. Maybe that's the whole theme. Maybe that's what they're having. They're having the Shanghai surprise.
The shots. Oh, so then I wrote, and then this is the part, because I wrote China Doll Hands, and I'm like, the guy, the main villain, I said he reminded me of Sacha Baron Cohen in Talladega Nights, when he was the Formula One driver. I almost have to wonder if he took his speech, because if you listen to the speech when he's like, "Would you like some strawberries?" Like, he did that same delivery. You know which character I'm talking about in Talladega Nights?
Yeah, the Italian guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the guy with the China doll hands.
Husband.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then I wrote, I like torture device. And then, I said, Madonna takes off granny panties, awful. And I said, after the granny panties, it says, worst missionary ever.
Oh,
and then, this is Jogo, not a knuckleball. Oh, and then China Doll showed him the gnarly hands. Remember that? Like, he tore her fingernails out or burned them or something? And you remember that?
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, you didn't notice, like, when those hands were, like, earlier, like, that he did that? I didn't, you know, I don't know. And then said that I wrote a belt, and, oh, there was one line that made me kind of chuckle, and it was, "Bugger off, you old fart." And that's it. And then it said, I have a little box for some reason. This was like, I was losing my mind. There's just this weird little box on my nose on the side, and it says, "Newlywed, painful." I don't know what that means. I don't know what state I was in to be like. It's like, oh.
Now the fat British guy, the character actor.
Yeah.
He was the professor in the Naked Gun movie.
That's right.
Yeah,
he had the Whistler's mother birthmark on his butt.
Drebin like tripped over him and was like had his head in his crotch, and the automatic wheelchair went across the stage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that guy's been in a lot of things, but so I did a little research, and you know that's off of a book.
Yeah,
and it was called Faraday's Flowers. It was done in 1986. It was a whopping 246 pages.
Are you, okay, quick. Are you at the Wikipedia page? Because I'm an internet nerd.
Yeah. Oh no, that's why I'm too. Because the budget was $17 million, and it made a whopping.
The novel was printed in first 1978 called Faraday's Flowers.
Oh.
Yeah.
I dare you to read it.
No. Oh my god. One other thing, since I just kind of took over. Is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported in October 1986 the movie opened so poorly in its first wave of playdates. Late August in the Northeast and the Midwest, that MGM made severe cuts in its marketing budget. One MGM exec was quoted in trade as saying this was necessary because the interest in the film has been non-existent.
Yeah, I just felt like it was basically a couple. They were like, hey, you know what? We need to make a project together. And like Madonna read a book one time in her life, and it happened to be this book.
One time in her life.
besides you know the Kabbalah and all that, but she's like raving about this book, and he reads it, and it's a piece of shit. I mean, he thinks the book sucks, But he, you know, he's a newlywed, so he wants to make sure that, you know, he makes her happy. So he's like, yeah, it's great. We'll make this movie. I'll call in a favor to George Harrison. And then my theory is, too, that George Harrison was trying to screw Madonna. So that's why he's doing this. And then so it's just basically the only two people in the world who, actually, not even two. Madonna probably is the only one who likes this film. And I also think, this is the other thing, I wrote a note on this, that I think Sean Penn should have his Academy Award taken away because of this movie. And, like, any time when he gives an acceptance speech about how hard it is to be an actor and everything, someone just needs to stand up and go, Shanghai Surprise!
Oh,
at him.
Oh, you said it. Oh, and when they announce he was in that movie, they have to play that sound.
Yeah. They can't soil the shorts of George Harrison's dead body by mentioning the movie. At all. They just need to play a fart sound and be done with it.
George Harrison's body needs to be dug up and beaten with a rake. Because of that.
And here I thought that the cancer that gave... the cancer that killed George Harrison was from this movie. Nope. We could dig him up and beat him again.
No, it was from... this movie is what killed him. This movie should be called, like... You know, if you own this movie, or if you enjoy this movie, you need to go to your doctor because you have a brain tumor of some sort. Because this is like the canary in the coal mine for brain tumors.
Shank. Wow.
Oh, so bad.
More you.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I just think this is awful.
Hey, now awful. I gotta tell you, this movie actually has won an award.
I saw that on which I'll let you go ahead and announce that.
Yeah, yes, for the 7th Golden Raspberry Awards, Madonna won Worst Actress.
Oh, it deserved a Golden Raspberry, I'll say that.
Oh. Yeah, the 7th annual, it was nominated, but it only won one. The worst director, worst screenplay, worst original song, worst actor.
Worst original song. Yeah. That's George Harrison that got nominated for that. That's how bad this was. It even, like, it even touched his, like, sphere of influence in music and art.
I'm telling you, he was dying when this happened. That's the only thing I can think of. That it was just...
He was in the throes of, like the death throes of his life.
Got my mind on you. Set on you. Got my mind set on you. Gonna make money. Whole lot of shitting money. Chasing opium?
Yeah. He's kind of doing, it's kind of a story song.
If that's the word that gets stuck in my head. That part, like when I woke up this morning, the little chorus.
I only hear that song when I hit the handle on the toilet.
So I actually think that I actually I don't even know if there's any more to be said. It's just, you know, there's some like the Wang Wang film, I think it's fun and people could watch and actually enjoy. And,
this
one is no, I really don't. And I'm disgusted and proud of myself all at the same time for inflicting this upon you too.
It's I gotta warn you, you'd be turning the corner of masochism now. It's like, you know, it's got me thinking about picking movies that are just knives into the wound and twisting, you know. I don't wanna go down that. I could, but I don't wanna do that. I'm just hanging on to backfield emotion, just waiting to dole that out.
Well, and this is one of those, I deserve everything I get from this. I deserve any sort of punishment.
You deserve, just like, you deserve a Shanghai Surprise.
So, Michelle,
Hearing that makes me miss my grandpa.
I think you just named the episode.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
It is such a, from the bowels, just from the soul kind of grandpa, like.
Shanghai surprise.
Oh boy!
This is the more snobby crowd. This one, you know.
What?
This dose is really going to appeal to that. You know that snobbier crowd.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, the upper crust of the toilet bowl. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right, this is highbrow. This is highbrow. I get
it. Sweaty brows and clenching teeth.
So I think we could be done with this movie, because like the fact that it was 97 minutes and we just turned through the notes, like we don't need to. There's just a lot of double crossing and just.
It's not a bad actor.
I'm just repeating myself.
Poor writing, bad acting. None of the actors cared about what they were doing. The music sucked. It pretty much tarnished everybody else's respective individual careers. It was just one giant.
But you know what though? But Sean Penn like doesn't have to answer for this really, because you look at it, you know, because Sean Penn is like, he's won Academy Awards. He's thought of as like this amazing actor.
If you take Sean Penn compared to in his career and what he does and what his craft is compared to George Harrison and his career and his craft, I think, if anything, for not answering, George Harrison doesn't need to answer to this movie or anything with it, but. Oh my God! What he did in it was just far more damning than Sean Penn. Because Sean Penn is just an actor; he didn't write it. He didn't put the money up to do this piece of shit.
Right.
You know.
Now,
well, and he was trying to make his wife happy, probably too. You know, he was probably like, yeah, you know.
We're going to gloss over Sean Penn's shortcomings like this film. He did this to make his wife happy, yet probably about a year or two later, he had her tied to a chair and was beating her.
I don't remember that at all. You said that the other day in a text, you were like, just remember that Sean Penn tied Madonna to a chair and beat her years later.
He did.
I remember him punching.
She got out as he let her up to go to the bathroom, and she crawled out a window. She never pressed charges.
Wait, okay.
Wow.
I am completely ignorant of this story. What happened?
Okay, a long time ago when they were married, there was a whole thing. I remember as a kid is that there's like they got in a fight and like he slapped her or hit her, so that's what I thought. Well, the story is that he didn't just do that. Like one time he got pissed with her, he tied her to a chair, beat her, and then like totally like chewed her out and yelled at her and hit her while she was tied to a chair, and then she asked to get up to go to the bathroom, he let her up, and then she crawled out a window and got away. And then for some reason or another, she convinced her not to press charges against him, and then they just separated, and that was it.
And struck Madonna in the head with a baseball bat during a heated dispute.
Yes, he was.
He did. You Google searches this, one of the things comes up is Sean Penn Madonna abuse.
Yeah,
he was like, sadistic.
Known abuse. For tumultuous and toxic qualities. Oh boy, yeah.
So anyway,
but here's the philosophical question though that I have about it too. It's like when I see people like who make these movies, like Demi Moore and Bruce Willis. Everyone's had like breakups and stuff happen, and it's really tough. How much does it suck? Like if you're sitting around like on a Saturday and you're switching around and you see a movie that you made together, like for everyone to see,
the Getaway with Alec Baldwin and Kim, whatever, however you have to say your last name,
Kim Basinger. Yeah. Yeah, that's got to make you feel awful. Why would you even do that? Even if you, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying you should hedge your bets when you're in a marriage, but I'm just like, let's not do any projects. You do your thing, I'll do mine, because I don't want, if this ends badly, I don't want to have to be sitting here, you know, watching this someday. That would just be horrible. that's the philosophical kind of thing. But. Hey, did you know Sean Penn was in the 1974 episode of Little House on the Prairie?
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was an extra. Okay, here we go. He was engaged to Elizabeth McGovern, and then he married pop star Madonna in 85. The pan did much to derided Shanghai Surprise. The relationship was marred by violent outbursts against the press, including one incident for which he was arrested for assaulting a photographer on a film set. He was sentenced to 60 days in jail in mid-87, when he served 33 days. Also, legend discovered the paparazzi at the hotel. He hung him by his ankles from the ninth floor balcony. Madonna went to Cedars-Sinai Hospital for x-ray. Shanten hit her across the head with a baseball bat.
What a humanitarian.
Yeah. And this, remember when he was in that little boat? Like when
it was leaking.
When the levees broke and the man.
Yeah.
You what?
It was leaking. It was all leaking and he had to go back.
Yeah.
What a dumbass. That's just so funny because, you know, like, he's lived in the bubble for so long that he doesn't understand things like, you know, like boats and like just things that everyday people can figure out. And he's like, well, I'm going to go save everybody. And it's like, no, dude, you got a little boat. So,
it's got holes.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's still with Robin Wright Penn or whatever.
No, she left him.
Yeah. Anyways. It's bad. It's like, I love Mystic River. That's one of my favorite movies. It's a fantastic film.
It was a really good movie.
Yeah. What's playing?
nothing. I was just resetting.
just reloading.
It's just been another one.
So who's picking it now?
Who's, I think, is it Mike? Or
it should be. I'm looking at the season one roll. And it looked like, Organic Kayfabe Man, which was John's movie. And it was How's About That Glove?
That's him.
Which was, it wasn't The Glove, was it? It was it that David Carradine movie?
Future Force.
And then I did Apocalypse Yore, which is Yore, the Manhunter from the Future. So we just got done with That Reminds Me of My Grandpa. So
I love you, Grandpa.
So Tim is next. Tim, you spent a lot of time queuing up all these parts. Do you have a movie queued up?
Ooh. Talk about yourselves from here and I'll come back with a selection.
Well, no, it's all right. You don't have to do it now. We could even be really technologically advanced and put it like on Twitter or Facebook this other two.
I'll tweet it out on the Gonzo Guys feed and I'll Shanghai surprise you.
You're gonna blow my hands off?
Just be careful when you open the tweet.
That's true. Oh, man, yeah, that guy had some.
I will tweet the next selection to the world.
So, and you should probably Facebook it too. I think we have more people on Facebook now.
I think it goes to both.
Okay.
Good.
So, and I should have some, you know, a little more time on my hands too. So I need to try to get us some more people to. Meanwhile, I don't know how many more people we'll get to.
You have now been promoted to marketing.
You what?
You've been promoted to marketing, John.
Oh, man. So I guess we can put a stinky bow on this one.
Yes, we can snuff the candle out. And we gotta do it. Yeah. We gotta do it quick before you get another Shanghai surprise.
Oh no!
Are you pausing? Are you freestyle farting over there? What are you doing?
Remix.
He's a fartist. He's a true fartist. You know that,
you
right? He's like DJ.
Sir.
I have been called FM before.
Do you wake up in the night in the middle of the night screaming, Heather?
Peppa. No.
Oh, call back to season one. That's right.
Peppa. No, why you gotta
do that?
Heather.
Heather.
Heather. Oh,
it was the it was the true 90s. It was the true 90s.
That's you know what? That's a better.
But you said,
how amazing is it that Fart the movie is better than Shanghai Surprise?
Wait, what? What?
He said it again.
It was certainly more entertaining. It totally get it. It kept me on the edge of my seat.
Oh, well, that's Leaps and Bounds better. Plus, it had better music.
It did.
Yeah. Because it had the, what was the name of the wheel band?
The Medicine Wheel Band.
Right. Yeah, they were good. They were
life's
good.
That's
still,
life's a gas.
So this is something that the movie is that we're going back to one of our early, like, was that the first one?
It was, oh boy, Fart, no, it was later.
It was the second.
Season one. Encourage all listeners to go back and listen to our whole catalog.
That's right, because life's a gas, and it's certainly no Shanghai Surprise.
Oh no! Oh yeah, that's good.
Oh boy. All right. Well, I'm gonna call it a night and do some unpacking and just enjoy that I can bring this kind of I can do more research on these kind of things.
Yeah, we're gonna go on this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me hybrid it a little bit.
Too bad George Harrison didn't.
Wait a second.
Oh. All right, guys. I will talk to you soon. And Tim, tweet out the your pick, and we'll go from there.
Nice.
He doesn't even talk anymore. He just does sound effects.
Nice.
All right, guys.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right. Good night.
Talk to you later. Bye.
So, yeah, we're going on a Shanghai Surprise. What? Yeah! Shanghai Surprise. Oh, I guess you should probably do this.
Whew.
Here we go.
Seats are crowded out. for acting so cool to me. I'm finding out the super bad. Evil looking dudes is getting hot for me like so cool.